The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Lexi Brinkley and Autumn Warren in studio with me as well. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Great.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. It was a big football weekend. I don't know if you watched any games, Anthony. I got fixated on the New England-Houston game, and gosh, oh, my God, I wanted Houston to win so bad. I just wanted them to win so bad, and they did such a great job. And that darn Tom Brady, who I also really like, you know, came charging down the field with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter and came back and won the game. And, you know, when is he going to stop?
They're not.
Yeah, I know.
He said he's going to play till he's 50 if he can.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I admire that. Absolutely.
He's 40 and he's going.
Why do people think that you have to retire? You know, I've never understood that. Why not? You know, you get one life. We talk about it on the show all the time. Why not live it to the fullest and go out at the end like screaming, doing crazy good stuff?
Yeah, you've got to eat healthy, I guess, to make it that long.
Yeah, well, you know, Tom Brady is a vegan, isn't he? Pretty sure he is.
I know he has his own diet, actually.
He does an alkaline diet or something?
Well, yeah, and he's got some vegan products. He's kind of vegan, and we're going to be actually talking a little bit about that later on in the show. I always like kind of touching on it because we're going to be talking about the paleo diet and just a lot. We're going to mix it up today. A lot of different information, probiotics. Autumn's going to talk about probiotics and diabetes, and there is definitely a connection. When you hear the science, you're going to be fascinated. There's so much to know about the gut microbiome that, you know, it's so crazy. We don't, in this article, you know, that I'm going to read later on, it basically says that, you know, we don't do anything until it's too late almost.
Right.
You know, as far as like believing the science on things that I don't know, it's so connected. They talk about the connection between pharmaceuticals and antibiotics and how they've destroyed our gut bacteria and how to get it back.
And sometimes even when you think it's too late, it's not too late. You just haven't done everything you there is to do just yet.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, I'm always good stuff to put out there. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, the whole national anthem thing all weekend long. And I was vacuuming this morning doing my cat litter stuff. And I was thinking, why don't we have a world anthem? You know, why are we all so, you know, small-minded? How about this one, you guys? It's a small world, after all. How many votes do I get for that, right?
I'll vote.
Yeah, I think Michael Jackson tried, but he is no longer with us. But at the same time, the world is in a different place, I think, in this time. But
well, I thought about, you know, think about it, though. A world anthem, so we could all be one as a community. That doesn't mean we couldn't have our different cultures and our different things that we're famous for in all of our different countries or our different languages. But an anthem like you know, It's a Small World, where we are under the, have a consciousness about the world, and it's not just about us. Just because there's people on the other side of the world that we never see or may never see doesn't mean that they're not there or they aren't as important as we are.
It sounds like vacuuming kitty litter is like a meditation for
you. It is.
You've come up with all kinds of good
stuff.
I know.
Well, and I, in the middle of the night last night, was woke. I lay in bed and I think about, I know Danny, if Danny was here, Danny would say, oh my gosh, she's a nutbag. You know, but seriously, I think about the animals in the factory farms night, I swear to you, probably because it's such at the forefront of my mind, the suffering and the torture that they go through in order so we can have all this meat society that we've become. And that's, if you think about it, that's a really selfish thing too. You know, we become like this protein obsessed nation. And I really do think that it's indicative of the temperature, if you will, of the nation, and that we get whatever we want, whatever makes us feel better, whatever makes us look better, no matter how much violence or absurdity is happening in the factory farms. And no one wants to really talk about it.
Agreed.
Or really change it. And it's pretty effed up. I'm just going to tell you, it really is. When we've got that kind of stuff going on behind the scenes all over the world, all over our country, I'm speaking for America now, How are we ever going to have peace and happiness?
Right.
We're not.
No, there's an underlying tone of sadness and...
Yes. I want it now. I want it cheap. I don't care where it came from. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I just want what I want and I want it now, while the man lines his pockets with more gold.
Right.
And it just makes me really mad. So,
yeah, and what I agree.
And what about with news media antagonizing like racial tensions and doing stupid stuff? And
I mean, at the end of the day,
doesn't help.
You know, you don't hear dogs saying, "Oh wow, he's got a bigger doghouse than me," or elephants, or elephants saying, "Oh wow, he's got a bigger trunk than me." You know, I mean, why can't we be like animals?
Y'all remember the song "We Are the World"?
Yes, Robin Williams? Yes, of course.
Maybe we should get that spun back
up. Do you have it? Let's play it.
I'm actually looking for it. I have it
at the break.
I'll definitely get it.
Yeah, because I don't know. I'm just really jacked up about it. I cannot sleep at night thinking, and I guess that's what my purpose on Earth is, you know?
Mama bear.
Well, you know.
You're mama bear. That's...
It's the wrong thing to do, you know, and okay, so at my high school graduation, they played the song, "Let There Be Peace in the World and Let It Begin with Me." Okay, do you guys know that song?
Yeah.
Let there be peace in the world, let it begin with me, da, 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 da. It's a beautiful song. Anyway, I swear to you, I cried at my high school graduation because I felt it so strong even then. And of course, my life took a different turn and I ended up in the restaurant industry, but I really feel that this is my purpose. I was put on earth to bring attention to this particular problem, because it is a telltale sign, like I said, if you will, of the temperature of this country and of the climate. We are so focused on self and what we look like and what makes us feel good. And it's wrong. And it's destroying the country.
And, you know, people would probably feel better if they weren't eating meat that came from such sources, came from happy animals.
Right. And I'm not saying that we should not eat meat. If you want to eat meat, as long as you do it the correct way and you respect the animal, and the animal has no harm other than, you know, when you slaughter them. But slaughter isn't even the right word, because, I mean, look the way the Jewish people have done it for years and years, the kosher method. Yeah. I mean, they understand it. It's a higher level of thinking, and we need to get there.
There are much nicer ways than, you know, basically keeping animals as your indentured servants.
Well, and the Native Americans, you know, who respected the land, who respected the animals. Yes, they ate meat, but... You know, when I was growing up, and I'm actually thrilled to have Leanne Eli on the show today. She is the author of Part-Time Paleo and Body Clutter, and most importantly to me, the Saving Dinner series cookbooks about saving dinner and the importance of the family dinner, because I really do feel that food and family are the focus of the love and the peace that we need in the world.
Yeah.
You know, where you sit down and you take care of your own family first, and then your community, your neighbors. I'm having people over tonight for dinner that, you know, I help them out. There was something they needed. I helped them out. And then we're going to sit and we're going to have dinner tonight and just, you know, maybe watch a little football and just, you know, have a couple of beers or whatever. But that's what it's all about, is sitting down with friends and family and focusing on what's really important. And national anthems, all that stuff, they don't matter. We're all the same when it comes right down to it.
Right.
So
I've got a good friend in town right now who actually works for me. And when he's in town, he gets an Airbnb just down the street from me and comes over every night for dinner.
Don't you love it?
Yeah, it's a business. You know, he's here for business for the company, but, you know, he's eating dinner like a family member at my house with my kids and my pets. And, you know, it's all...
It's a lot
of fun. It's a really intimate way.
Some of my dearest friends are all people that I've worked with before. You know, and when you're working that many hours, your friends are the people that you work with, because you don't have time for anything else.
Exactly.
And you're usually pretty like-minded. So it's, you know.
Yeah, it's a great way to share a special time with somebody.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just lost one of my very dearest friends, as you know. And, you know, the thing that I love the most about Ines and her family is they sat down, no matter what's going on in the world, they got together every Sunday for dinner.
Oh, I love
that.
The
whole family that's you know, growing, and the grandkids and just everything. They sat down and they had dinner together, and I think that's so important. And they included friends like me that maybe I have a broken family, so I don't have that experience as much anymore. My daughter and I try to replicate it with my other daughter, you know, is off at college and stuff, but it's difficult to do. And so the family dinner is so very important. We're going to talk about it with Leanne Eli here in just a couple of minutes, and, you know, I think we're going to go to break. And when we get back, we've got Dr. Ken Redcross coming up. He's going to be talking about exercise cram, do's and don'ts. He is a personal medical practice, he is the founder of the Red Cross Concierge, a personalized medical practice designed to enhance the patient-doctor relationship. You're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be right back. I don't want to hurt you, but I need to breathe. At the end of it all, you're still my best friend. Sun Warrior, a raw superfood company committed to making the best plant-based proteins, has taken nutrition to the next level with Illuminate. It's 100% organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, and dairy-free. Cover your most important nutritional bases with superfoods like baobab, chia, flax, whole grain brown rice, holy basil, kelp, guava, and coconut, just to name a few. Clean protein, the absolute best gluten-free carbohydrates, healthy fats, minerals, vitamins, exclusively from organic herbs, essential oils, and superfoods. No synthetics here. Illuminate, quick, clean, complete, 100% organic nutrition. Sun Warrior, shining light on your health and nutrition. Eating clean never tasted or felt so good. Visit them at sunwarrior.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with, I almost said Danny Miles. It's going to take me probably till the end of the show. Anthony Cernelia, Lexi Brinkley, and Autumn Warren in studio with me. And I have Dr. Ken Redcross on the line. He is a medical doctor and is the founder of Red Cross Concierge, a personalized medical practice designed to enhance the patient-doctor relationship while providing convenient access to a full spectrum of healthcare services and holistic and wellness counseling. As one of the first full-service concierge personalized medical practices in the United States, Dr. Redcross, his patient portfolio includes executives, athletes, entertainers, as well as individuals from all walks and stages of life. Dr. Redcross earned his medical degree from Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center in New York, specializing in internal medicine. He has been featured on shows like The Doctors, The Insider, and E! Entertainment Television. Such a pleasure to have you today, Dr. Redcross. How are you?
I am great, Bernadette. Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone else in studio with you.
Hello. Hi.
And you know, it's so funny. So, Dr. Redcross, what a comical name for a doctor, a medical doctor, right?
Oh my gosh! I told you, the good Lord has a sense of humor, doesn't he? So,
Okay. Well, you know, I remember when Dr. Louis George, when my mother was a nurse and she was the head nurse at the local hospital, she was the maternity nurse. And so she delivered a lot of babies and she was real good friends with the doctors in town. And so when my mother and my seven brothers and sisters, when we would get sick,
oh my God,
they would come to the house. The doctor used to come to the house when I was very, very little. I remember it. And so those days are long gone. They're long gone. And kudos to you for, you know, this this genius idea that you have to be to be a concierge, a personalized medical practice, a doctor. I think it's so cool.
You know, Bernadette, it's interesting. You know, I don't want those days to go away. I want all those days to come back. I wish everyone there could see. I even have my little black bag that I carry with me here in New York City in my car.
Really?
You just kind of never know. So I love that because that's when care kind of mattered, right? That was when your doctor knew you well and you were really like a member of the family at that point.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. In fact, Dr. Fitzgerald, who was one of the OBGYNs in our hometown, it's a real small town, upstate New York, but he he was the second cousin, I think, to John Kennedy, John Fitzgerald, you know, Kennedy, but a very successful doctor, but had such a wonderful, warm bedside manner. I remember it well. But let me ask you this. So today we're talking about exercise cram do's and don'ts. So is there a danger in cramming our exercise into just a couple of days a week? And does this make you officially like a weekend warrior?
Well, you know, it's a little bit different. See, there was a newer study that came out, and the study showed that we were actually able to get two days of exercise in. In other words, weekend fitness enthusiasts and still get the mortality benefit as working out 5 days a week. So when everyone kind of heard of that study, everyone started going to the gym and getting all that time in. And so you're right. There are some things we need to worry about when we're cramming this exercise in. So it's important that we at least touch upon some of the do's and some of the don'ts if we're going to cram this exercise in like this.
Well, what are some of the do's and don'ts?
Well, some of the things that are important is that we all remember when we were kids in elementary school, we always warmed up before we exercised. So that stuff makes a whole lot of sense. But cooling down is the rookie mistake. If you don't do that, you're not really taking the benefit of actually really getting your muscles out of that range of being able to injure themselves. So make sure you cool down. The studies actually showed the best way to cool down was doing the exact same exercise that you were doing for exercise, but just at a slower pace.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. Yeah. I was on my spin bike a couple of days ago.
Good. You're a spinner.
And I thought of that, you know, because I was doing HIIT training. So I was hitting it really hard and towards the end, and I did it like 20 minutes. But towards the end, I thought, I shouldn't jump off the bike. I've got to continue to roll my legs for a couple of minutes to get that cool down for the reason that you didn't give the reason yet. So why is it so bad if you don't do that, if you don't take that time to cool down?
Well, because the cooling down is the point where you really want all of the blood to rush back to the muscles, because the blood is carrying a lot of chemicals that are important to help us not only with muscle soreness, but also healing. Because when you're doing high intensity exercise, like you've mentioned spinning, I love spinning. I'm a CrossFitter now. So as you do some of these things, cooling down is huge in order to make sure that you can kind of get back on the field and be able to perform the next day or the day after that.
Well, and you know, I'm looking at the exercise cram do's here, and one of them is hydrate and eat restorative foods. I don't think people understand that it's the whole package. You can't just pick one of these do's and leave the other two do's out and have great success.
No, you really can't. And this is so cliche for me to say that food is medicine. But you know what, Bernadette? It is so true. And if you really think about food as that way, you really start to focus on what you put into your body. One of the things I typically use and talk to patients about are blueberries. Blueberries have been shown to actually help decrease our muscle soreness. And so it's important to give that a try. The other thing are actually eggs. I also think hard-boiled eggs are important because they contain all of the essential amino acids, which are so important, especially after a hard workout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last but not least, when you're talking about an excellent restorative food, think of salmon. Now, I like salmon because of the level of omega-3s, and omega-3 has been shown to speed up muscle recovery after exercise and also to increase that blood flow.
Right. But you have to be very careful. We talked about this just a couple days ago on the show, Dr. Red Cross with Dr. Johnny Bowden, who wrote the book, The 150 Healthiest Foods Out There. And of course, eggs were on that list. Blueberries were on that list. Salmon was on that list, or fish, but it has to be wild caught. That's a definitive because according to Dr. Neil Barnard, he writes that per pound farmed salmon are fed more antibiotics than any other farmed animals or any other animals reared for slaughter. And that's huge when you think about the ramifications of putting all that bad bacteria when you're trying to build a good gut microbiome, correct?
No, absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because Dr. Barnard is absolutely right with that. Never, ever get farmed salmon if you at all costs. You want to make sure that it is wild caught. And so it's important to ask when you go there as well. The other thing is, as you talk about muscle aches, you were talking about spinning and the muscle aches you can get there. One of the things we should think about too is if we're going to cram it in, what are we going to do to make a difference? One of the things I always talk to my patients about is the homeopathic cream or gel that's called Arnicare. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it comes from Arnica, Montana.
I absolutely use it. I do. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yep. I live with it. And the thing is, it helps not only for the pain and the swelling and the bruising, but the thing I love about it, Bernadette, it doesn't have that menthol smell.
Well, it's natural.
So that's a big difference.
Absolutely. It's a great natural product. There's no question about it. And so when you say cramming, can you define what would be actually called cramming? Like how much exercise is considered cramming?
Okay, so the recommendations say we're supposed to be getting 75 minutes a week of vigorous activity, or if not, at least 150 minutes a week of moderate activity. Now, if you're going to try to cram that in over maybe a Saturday and Sunday, you can see that's a lot of time. The other thing that I always find interesting is that everyone kind of says weekend warriors, but really only about 2 to 3% of us are actually true weekend warriors, where we try to get all of those minutes, the 75 minutes or the 150, in just 2 days. But the point is that we have to be careful when we're doing that. I'm so glad that we're having this discussion about exercise, but we kind of want to take it a little easy along the way also.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about cramming, I'm thinking about cyclists. Cyclists are famous for that. Where they, you know, a lot of businessmen and women that you know, work all week long, and then they'll ride their bike 50 to 100 miles a day on Saturday and Sunday, or maybe one ride on the weekends. But that's very common. Would you consider that cramming?
No, it is cramming. And the thing is that they're such high performing athletes. And sometimes when you're at that level, you don't think about it. You almost think of yourself as different than other people, but we aren't. Our bodies work the same way. But you can still get to that end result. But you want to make sure that, as we talked about these do's, some of the don'ts, and this is a good one, especially for cyclists, you want to make sure that you're not planning back-to-back sessions. You just mentioned they're trying to get 100 miles in. And so one of the things I'll talk to about my cyclists in particular is trying to, if you're going to go hard, let's maybe go hard maybe that Saturday and take it a little bit less strenuous on that Sunday.
Hello? Got a problem there, Anthony? Oh, there you go.
Okay,
lost you for
me.
A minute.
Sorry,
I can
guys.
Hear you now. Yes, you're good.
Yeah, so I was just saying that it's important to, especially with some of my cyclists that I've talked to as well, is be careful with being too strenuous 2 days in a row. In other words, planning back-to-back sessions. That can be a big problem and increase your risk for injury also.
Well, you know, one of the things that I start doing to get a little exercise in every day, because I think that I was reading an article. I knew this anyway because I love to play. I like to play hard. I like to work hard. But getting play time in by something as simple as, so my daughter has these two little scooters, my daughter's, and they're like a joystick scooter, and I can't think of the name of them right now, but we have so much fun at night, not every single night, but a couple times a week, getting out and just riding them around the neighborhood. And it's playtime, and it's also exercise at the same time.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually have I have twins, Bernadette, and one of the things I do with them to exercise and playtime for us, we jump rope.
Oh, my gosh.
So that way I can kind of mix up my workout and jump rope. My daughter in particular loves to have these little competitions with me, but little does she know that I have another motive, and it's to get her moving and exercising.
Well, jumping rope I'm glad you brought it up. I used to be almost a world-class jump roper at one time in my life. Yeah, I could jump just like crazy. I used to jump sometimes an hour, 2 hours a day, and I was in phenomenal shape. But that doesn't determine your conditioning either because, in fact, when I first first started training with Tina Burnett, I could jump rope for probably 30 minutes, and she said, I'll kick your rear end. You wait and see. Because I didn't ever really lifted a lot of weights. I was in great shape, but never lifted weights. And sure enough, she did. So you do really do have to mix it up.
You do. You do. You work different muscle groups, and it's important. And we all have different levels of conditioning, and we all have different things that are kind of our strength. The other thing that's important for an exercise cram don't is make sure you don't bring your ego into the gym. Leave it at home. You don't, or, please. Because
or just get rid of it altogether.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably a better way to say it. Exactly. Yeah. Don't even think about bringing it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, just put it, leave it on the mantle.
I like that better, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's always so good to have guys like you jump on and tell us, you know, things that we may be doing right or wrong. And so anything else you want our listeners to know before we go to break?
I do. Look, the other question I typically get is, are we ever too old to exercise? And that is an emphatic no, not at all. So no matter how old you get, you have to make sure you definitely consult with your physician, but we always have to keep moving. The studies show the more we exercise, the longer it keeps us on this earth.
Well, and I want people to be able to connect with you, Dr. Ken Red Cross. You can find him at drredcross.com, on Facebook at Ken Red Cross MD, and on Twitter at Dr. Red Cross. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. Stay healthy, everyone.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Ken Red Cross coming up. We have Leanne Eli. She's going to be talking about saving dinner. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. And I'm not keeping out the strength I need to push me. You show the light. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Easy no, you don't need to go down. Easy no, no need to go down. Rock that, run that, this away from. Easy no, you don't need to go down. Easy no, no need to go down. Rock that, run that, this away from.
Whoop, whoop.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Lexi Brinkley, Autumn Warren, and our special guest today, Leanne Eli. Leanne Eli began creating Menu Mailer on SavingDinner.com in 2001 to help families get back to the dinner table. Within just a few years, Reader's Digest declared a new industry had been born, and the menu planning industry, and Leanne was dubbed the mother of the menu planning, and she is the creator of SavingDinner.com, and its goal is to bring families closer together by enjoying healthy and easy-to-prepare meals. They do this by creating innovative menu planning products like premium menu mailer, which includes delicious and nutritious recipes, shopping lists, and nutritional information. Leanne also has her own radio show, Saving Dinner with a Dinner Diva, airs each Wednesday afternoon on blogtalkradio.com. And I am so proud to have you in studio, or not in studio, on the phone with us, Leanne. Welcome.
Bernadette, thank you so much for having me.
Well, and you've got so much to read. I forgot to say that you're the author of the books, Part-Time Paleo, which is a great book, and Body Clutter, and also Saving Dinner series of cookbooks. And so I have to ask you, what was the deciding factor that ignited the passion that you have for the family dinner?
I noticed that the family dinner table was not happening. Back in a long time ago, when I had my own catering business, I noticed this kind of disconnect with the family. And I thought that was kind of sad. And then once I got married and had my own children, you know, it was really important for me to get my family back to the dinner table. And I noticed incrementally that not only were my children able to eat more foods and they had table manners, and they knew how to, you know, have small talk at a dinner table, which knife and fork to use. I just saw one after the other, all these different things that were happening with my own children, and my friends were asking me, you know, how come your kids eat and mine don't? And I just kept circling the wagons back to the dinner table, so that kind of became my passion, and the ignition, was set.
I love it. Well, you know, when you were just talking, I was thinking about all the important lessons that you learn at the dinner table. You know, all how to be conversational, proper manners, which seems to be a lost art now. I don't know how often you go out to dinner, but if you look around and you see how people eat, especially children, you're like, oh my gosh. You know, they eat with their mouths open. They don't. And I'm not so prim and proper, but there are certain things that you just don't do at the dinner table. You don't blow your nose. You don't burp. You know, if you want to do something like that, you go to the restroom. But more importantly, it's about bringing families closer together, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's funny that we don't think about this thing because it's such a, you know, a normal, you know, everybody just needs to be fed. You know, they're going to be looking at you at dinner time like, you know, what's for dinner, mom, kind of a thing. It just happens all the time. And we're always looking for that magic pill, the magic thing that's going to help us with our families, that's going to make things better, different, et cetera, et cetera. And when we understand that this one little thing, instead of having the dinner table be a place for, you know, junk mail and backpacks, it was actually set and we sat at it and had dinner together as a family, we're going to notice things that CASA, which is a think tank in Columbia University, came up with, all these different things that happen. And one is that the kids feel more secure. They're less likely to have an eating disorder. They're less likely to drink and have promiscuous sex. They're more likely to do better in school. Mm-hmm. And on and on. There's a list of like 15 different things, all the things that we wish for our children. And we can do this by just having dinner at the table.
Yeah, so you know,
cool.
when I was thinking about, you know, before we went live, I was making some notes to myself, and I was thinking in my own family, what is it that I got out of the family dinner, and what am I teaching to my children, and what did they experience at the dinner table? And I just wrote down some notes that are consistent with what you just said, which I think that it provides a sense of security. You know, I think it provides a sense of consistency, which is important, consistency, and I think it's a function of discipline as well, where you have to sit and behave. But also be relaxed, not where it's very rigid, but a place where kids feel comfortable and they feel calm and they feel, you know, normalcy. They don't, it's the it's the home. It's sitting down, and you have to understand, Leanne, I'm Italian, so food is like a big deal for me, and sitting down at the table. Yeah. And even like dishes that you use. Like I have these beautiful Italian dishes that, you know, that people joke with me about all the time, but I love presenting the food in a beautiful dish. Nothing super fancy, but it makes a difference. And I think those little traditions of the placing importance on things that that give a child a sense of security are critical for their well-being.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, for a child to learn to be a part of the family dinner is important, not just sitting down at the table, you know, in their chair, but being a part of the family dinner from, you know, helping to decide what's for dinner, you know, sitting down in the family meeting and making a list of all the things that, you know, people want to eat, all the way down to going to the grocery store, washing the produce, helping to chop the food, cleaning up afterwards. In other words, taking it off of mom's plate and making it a family thing instead.
I love that.
I think that's where, well, it's where we get tripped up as women, I think, a lot of times, because we have this notion that it's all about us getting these things done.
Right.
And I get that. I got trapped in it too. But we don't. Then we neglect training our people and getting them to the place of, you know, knowing how to cook for themselves and take care of themselves as well. So it's really important that we have this notion that this is a family thing.
Yeah. Well, in my family, my mom was, you know, the professional, and my father was an entrepreneur, but, you know, you go have ups and downs in entrepreneurship. But my dad was the main cook in our house, and my mother cooked once a week. And, you know, hers was pretty much the same once a week. We had pot roast or, you know, one of her Irish dishes. But my dad, you know, would cook the pasta day to day, and I used to do the dishes with my dad at night. And so all these things that you're talking about are so important, and they teach, not the most important thing is they teach you how to carry that on to your own children when you're a child doing that with your parents. And it's so important. And I just, you know, admire you so much that you have enough passion to make this such an important thing in America, because I think it's really missing. Family dinners invoke conversation. You have a sense of family, even if the family is broken apart. You know, I touched on that earlier, but you can still sit down and have a family dinner. Right now, it's just me and my 13-year-old. But last night, you know, yesterday, she said, Mom, I said to her, honey, what do you want for dinner tonight? She goes, how about spaghetti and veggie balls? I'm like, okay, that sounds good. She helped me prepare it. You know, she rinsed and cleaned the broccoli and stemmed it and put it in the pot and, you know, all these little things that you do as you're preparing a meal. But it's such an important thing on every level.
It is on every level. You're exactly right. And, you know, when we give our children the opportunity to be in the kitchen side by side with us, you know, that's an opportunity for you and your 13-year-old, for example, to have a conversation that maybe is just between the two of you that you might not otherwise have.
Absolutely.
So there's so much that goes with that.
Well, you said that, you know, how do you feel about eating on the go? And how do you feel about cell phones?
Well, cell phones have no place at the dinner table. And we used to, you know, I also raised my children back in the day when cell phones weren't smartphones and you had to actually go through the numbers to make a text message happen.
That's funny.
But I was very, at the time, I could see, you know, the infringement of the cell phone. And it just, it makes me sad. You know, if you go to a restaurant or something and you watch these families sitting around just on their cell phone instead of having a conversation, and I think they really rob us from being present. So at my house, the cell phone is not allowed at the dinner table.
Well, in my, and I allow it. And it's funny because in her father, she doesn't. And she actually told me, Dad makes me too uptight that I can't even have my cell phone nearby, makes it too much of a focus. And then, I don't know, it's just, I guess it's a different perspective, you know, on how to do things. But it's funny, it can be right there, but we're so engaged that we don't even, she doesn't go on it naturally. So I think the key there is to focus on the food and the conversation, and that dinner can be such a stress reliever. And like you said earlier, you know, eating family dinners together drastically lowers a teen's chance of smoking and drinking and using drugs.
It's absolutely true. And however it is that you decide on, you know, the media in your household, whether or not you have the TV on or off, whether or not you have cell phones at the table or not, the thing is, let's get as focused as we can on each other, because in a minute, those childhood memories are changed. And in a minute, those kids are grown and gone, and you're going to wish that you have that time.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm saying that as a woman with a 25 and a 27-year-old now. So. Yeah.
Oh, it goes by fast. I mean, those little dinners are so precious to me. I can't even tell you. They have tremendous value. And someday she'll look back, and those will be some of her best memories. The same with my other daughter when she's home from college. I mean, it's all about the food. It's all about sitting at the table and just enjoying being together. And kudos to you for making it a focus in this country, because I think we're in desperate need of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We totally are.
Well, anything else you want our listeners to know, Leanne?
Well, I just want them to know that it isn't as difficult as you think. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm trying to put a guilt trip on you, but just take a look at all the benefits that you get.
Oh, yeah.
From being from cooking at home. Bring your kids in together. If you don't know how to cook, YouTube will teach you.
Well, you know,
and you can just look. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just, what you were saying, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying that people oftentimes, a lot of times the biggest pushback that I get is, but I don't know how to cook. My mother didn't teach me how, et cetera. And I get that. But I will tell you, it's not brain surgery. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And little things like using a good knife and understanding the heat on your stove is really all you need. Follow a recipe, bring your kids in the kitchen, have fun with it. And, that's how you get things done.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for making that point. And I just want to add that I think all mothers have been there at one point. You know, Autumn and I were talking before the show. I asked her how often she cooks, and she has basically the same, mentality that you and I share about it. But, it's a benefit for the mother or the father, too. The greatest gift of love that you can give is good, nurturing food to your children. And so. It doesn't have to be a mom thing. It can be a dad thing. It can be both parents, like I said. And baby steps, right?
Absolutely. And, a lot. I was a single parent, too, with an 11 and 13-year-old when I got divorced, and I still did my family dinners.
Right.
It was more important than ever. We need our kids to have a strong sense of what family is, regardless of who's sitting at the table, but just that they matter, and this is a way that we can do this and show them our love.
Yes, and amen to that, and being thankful for the food that's on the table, right?
You bet.
The gratitude.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right,
absolutely.
Leanne, what a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for jumping on One Life Radio. I really appreciate it.
You too. Take care, Bernie.
All right. That's great stuff. It just warms my heart. Makes me want to go home and cook something.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking.
Right? I know. I mean, it's the best thing in the world. All right, everyone. Stay tuned. We've got Autumn Warren coming up. We're going to be talking about probiotics and diabetes. There's definitely a connection. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned. What it takes to form a life.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Lexi Brinkley, and Autumn Warren. For those of you just joining us, Autumn Warren is a self-taught vegan cook. She's a mom of two, researcher of all natural remedies, animal lover. She teaches free meditation and yoga classes. She's written a children's book and is the inventor of Ether Elixir. Probioticsy'all.com is the name of her company. Right. I love that. I just love it. And you should see how cute she looks today. She's just beautiful. And she's so cool.
You.
This woman is just amazing. And she's amazingly smart. She's not judgmental. She's so cool. Can't even tell you. I love what we're talking about today. Probiotics and diabetes. There is some new research out. And it's probably been out. Maybe it hasn't gone mainstream, but it's been out for a while. But you can, you know, and I'm looking at the cover here. Reversing diabetes on the cover of What Doctors Don't Tell You. And then on the Wellbeing Journal, they have stuff in here as well. About
there's a whole magazine on reversing diabetes?
No, that's the cover. That's the cover of the story on the cover. But let me just read this. It says, many environmental insults to the gut early in its formation are being implicated in the development of diabetes.
Oh, for sure.
So I'll let you take it from here because you're so astute on this subject.
Well, thank you. I would say the biggest connection between probiotics and diabetes is simply that probiotics, they're the good bacteria that line your gut. And so the way that we consume food currently, I would say most people are eating too many sugars, too many carbohydrates, not enough plant-based foods, maybe a little bit too much meat here and there. And what we're doing is we're altering our microbiome. We're altering that part of our body where all of the bacteria reside. And instead of having more good bacteria, we're actually, most of us have more bad bacteria. Mm-hmm. And when you have that more bad bacteria, the bad bacteria are actually they're fueling disease. When the good bacteria are in there, their job is to crowd out any sort of pathogens, to crowd out any sort of disease-causing bacteria. And so when you don't have enough of them, then those diseases don't get crowded out and you are more susceptible to getting ill more often.
Well, in this article, Probiotics and Diabetes, what the amazing new research reveals, talks about that probiotics play a huge role in digestion, and many of us are ignorant about the importance and benefits of probiotics. And that probiotics, or good gut bacteria, as you said, mm-hmm. should ideally compromise at least 80% of the total gut bacteria. And if you are a diabetic, adding probiotics as either food or supplements can change things dramatically.
Oh, dramatically, yes. The unfortunate part about it is that a lot of the probiotics that are on the market, they're not either in the quantities or they're not alive or active enough to really do anything for you. So it's great to get them from a whole food source.
Mm-hmm. Or they're high in sugar,
or high in dairy, which the dairy are also going to slow your digestion, and that breeds an environment for the bad bacteria as well.
So many people think that yogurt is such a good option for them. If they're eating their yogurt daily, they're getting all the probiotics, or at least some good probiotics. Mm-hmm. Not true.
I don't personally believe it's true. No, and I would say it's because of the dairy is it's counterproductive to digestion. So even when you ferment dairy, you're fermenting out the lactose, the dairy sugar, but it's still keeping in the casein, which is the dairy protein. And that protein is too big of a protein molecule for your body to easily digest, so it stagnates in your colon. And when there's stagnation, that allows bad bacteria to breed.
Wow. So it's fascinating, the knowledge that you have about this. So what else do you want people to know about probiotics and diabetes?
I think that one of the neatest things with probiotics and diabetes is, obviously, when you have diabetes, your body is under a state of constant duress. And so what you're trying to do is you're wanting to reduce overall inflammation and allow your body to take a break, allow it to heal itself a little bit better. And probiotics are a great way to do it. It'd be a great way to repopulate your gut with a better microflora. That would aid tremendously in allowing yourself to heal, allowing those good bacteria to make good byproducts that aid in digestion, aid in lowering inflammation. But also just simply the act of taking a good, live, active probiotic in a high enough dose, what it does is it actually goes into your body and it lowers the metabolic load on your overall system. So it actually will lower your blood sugar, much like a diabetic will take insulin in order to lower their blood sugar. Taking a high quality probiotic will do the same thing, if not better, because what it's doing is it's going into your system. And when it's alive and active, it's looking to build a colony. So it needs fuel. Mm-hmm. And it uses your food that is in your gut, that is in your stomach, that is in your digestive tract as its fuel source. Therefore, your body doesn't need to excrete as much insulin to digest those sugars, to digest the carbohydrates. The probiotics are doing that and converting the food for you. They're pre-digesting the food for you so that when it goes into your small intestines, your body doesn't have nearly as much work to absorb the nutrients out of it. It's just really like giving your body a total vacation.
We're going to get this transcribed and put it in our newsletter. And again, you know, she's not reading any notes. She's reading this. This is coming straight out of her brain. She knows this subject so well. I dare say that she probably knows this as well as any expert in the whole country, if not maybe the one expert. Seriously, because you know it so well that you have a deep understanding of it.
I do have a very deep understanding. It's through a lot of years of, of watching it in trials, watching how it affects people. I've got no less than 5 close friends right now who I have seen their blood glucose monitors go down after consuming Ether Elixir. And that's not a shout out for my product. That's a shout out for probiotics.
Right.
They just need to be in a high volume and alive and active. And I have seen the numbers go down on a blood glucose monitor after consuming it. And it's impressive for people that are dependent on taking insulin from an outside source multiple times a day, for them to be able to instead consume something simple like a probiotic and to lower their blood sugar in a healthier way.
Well, that's exactly what this article says. Mm-hmm. Probiotics and diabetes, the science behind it.
That's right.
And it's fascinating, really.
It is.
You know, it's due to a lot of different things, even pharmaceutical drugs. And in this article, Reversing the Irreversible, talking about diabetes, it talks about many environmental insults to the gut early in its formation are also being implicated in the development of diabetes. While researching her doctorate in chemistry, a PhD student named Lisa Lanmore Lim studied groups of diabetic children and discovered that a number of associations leading to her suspect that drugs were at the heart of childhood diabetes. Different countries had a different incidence of diabetes, and the average age of onset got younger with each passing decade. As she looks further, she discovered a possible link between early onset diabetes and high exposure to prescription drugs in utero and in early childhood. Many drugs were implicated, including benzodiazepines, benzos, basically, tranquilizers and drugs to prevent miscarriage or morning sickness. But the most common drug of all was antibiotics, which the mothers had taken during pregnancy to treat infections.
Right, and the way that babies populate their gut flora is they get a gulp of mom's on the way out the door.
Right.
And then if it's not a vaginal birth, then they get it from whatever whatever's first introduced to their mouth. Maybe it's a bottle, and who knows what it is, their fingers, there's all kinds of different things. And
it's fascinating science, and only recently have really mainstream media even been talking about it.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
It's been out there. The research has been out there a long time. It's just now coming to light.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Thank you so much, Autumn. Always a pleasure to have you in studio. I was a natural grocer yesterday and ran into one of your reps out there and got 6 bottles of my pear elixir. It's great stuff. You know what, everyone? I hope you enjoyed listening. We always enjoy doing the show. Thank you so much. You can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or Apple Podcasts. You can go to our website to get our weekly newsletter at OneLifeRadio.com, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Charlotte's Web, Sun Warrior, Squatty Potty, and the ISSN. And so, you know what? You get one gut microbiome. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most being shy, pose no threat to humans, but they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
When it's 86 degrees outside, asphalt can reach a sizzling 135 degrees. Hot enough to cook an egg and your dog's feet. Be safe. Test the sidewalk with your hand. Go to PETA.org for help and information on how to keep your dog safe in hot weather.